More than a year ago, three healthcare leaders connected at a professional conference and decided that they wanted to work together to help meet the long-standing need for more nurses caring for Americans living in rural communities. Today, I'm pleased to welcome them to Health Talk, and we'll be hearing about how they connected, how they came up with a new career pathway for nurses interested in rural medicine, and the impact they hope to make on hospitals, health systems, and communities across the country. Thanks for joining us today on Health Talk. I'm pleased to welcome Becca Schutz, a registered nurse and chief nursing officer for UVM Health Network Alice Hyde Medical Center in Malone, New York. Sulin Mester, a registered nurse and clinical assistant professor at the University of Texas's Center for Rural Health and Nursing. And Sydney Grant, director of programming and operations for the National Rural Health Association certification programs. Thank you all so much for being here. Let's start by talking about the concept of rural nursing itself. Nursing is obviously a really broad category with a lot of opportunities to specialize, and what you've done here is give nurses another avenue to do that. Becca, kick us off by talking about what rural nursing is and why it's so important.
So rural nursing is, and I've said this before, it's our own specialty. So you can be a cardiac nurse or an orthopedic nurse, but rural nursing doesn't really get the recognition necessarily that it deserves as a specialty. It's essentially knowing how to do everything with very few resources.
Sydney, from a programming perspective, how does rural nursing fit into the concept of nursing education? Before you three conceived of this program, how did it fit into the educational landscape? Was it a consideration? Did we teach to it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I am not a nurse, so that's why we have Sulin and Becca to guide us through there, because they were the ones that did give us that input. Every program that we've ever created was out of suggestion. People come to us and suggest an idea. And that's how Becca and Sulin came to be in this program, was because there wasn't any rural specific nursing education out there, at least to my knowledge, and Becca and Sulin's knowledge, who they've lived and lived it. There wasn't any education specifically for rural nursing. And as we met with these two, it became clear that there was a need. So Becca and Sulin are paving the way. They're pioneers in this field and really making a difference. It's been very exciting. So there wasn't really any rural specific nursing education out there. And that's where the need came from.
Sulin, you're an educator and a clinician as well. You saw the need firsthand as a clinical educator. What did you see in classrooms and clinical education settings?
Certainly. I've been in academia only for a couple of years now, but prior to that, I was also chief nursing officer for 15 years. And that's actually where I noticed the need. There just, again, was not education out there, and certainly not certification. And I'll echo what Becca said in that rural nursing is a specialty of its own. Rural is not just a smaller version of urban, and I say that over and over. But there are such unique situations that we deal with, and the lack of resources. And so I saw it initially as a chief nursing officer. When I moved to academia, and I'm thankful that I was able to work with this program initially in developing and bringing education and certification to that specialty and recognition, just the fact that we can recognize it is a specialty of its own. But also, my main job at the university is developing education specifically for rural nursing. So there is a need, and it's beginning to be recognized.
I mentioned at the start that you all had connected on this issue at a professional conference. Take us through how you met and began to work together, and share why it's been such a strong and productive connection. Creating this certification pathway is a really big deal and a lot of work. How did you all ensure it succeeded?
I would say that Sydney probably put us all together. I met Bill. I was in that fellowship for NRHA. It's a year-long fellowship. And I met Bill during that time. And so we started working on a chief nursing officer certification. Sydney was a part of that. And so through Bill, I met Sydney. Becca, we met later as she went through our chief nursing officer certification. Early on, I had approached Bill and Sydney about a rural nurse certification, but we didn't really move forward. We got into the throes of COVID. It was chaos. It was side-tabled, backbenched, whatever you want to say about it. But so I just kind of forgot about it. And then thankfully, Becca came to the table as a CNO participant. She independently approached Bill and Sydney about a rural health certification. And we just started the ball rolling.
Becca, as a CNO who made the transition from bedside nurse to nurse leader relatively recently, what was that experience like? What needs did you see among your team? What went through your mind about the needs you saw, and why is a program like this so important to have available for folks?
Well, just like Sue Lynn said, rural isn't just a smaller scale of a more urban place than I thought it would be. So when I stepped into my role here, I was coming from a little bit bigger hospital in our health network, and we were really pushing certification and higher education. And I expected the same to be true when I came here, but that wasn't really the focus. And so when I started looking at what we could do to push certifications here, I was enrolled in the CNO cohort through NRHA. And I thought, well, that would be great to get the bedside nurses certified in rural nursing. And I just assumed there was a program, and there wasn't. So that's when I reached out to Sydney, and Sydney's like, interestingly enough, this is the second time we've heard this idea. So we, to Sue Lynn's point, got the ball rolling, and I'm really glad that we're starting to see people from our organization apply into the program.
Sydney, can you kind of take us through your process as someone that's focused on building programs and resources for healthcare professionals? What was it like meeting Becca, meeting Sue Lynn, and hearing that idea? It sounds like it was kind of a light switch moment for a lot of folks. Was it that way for you?
Yeah, absolutely. It was like a light switch. Like I mentioned earlier, Bill, who Sue Lynn brought up, Dr. Bill Oxier, is my partner in crime and all the adventures we do in rural healthcare. And like we mentioned earlier, we only make programs out of suggestion. We never just think something up and say, oh, people will like that, I'm sure, and throw it out there. So when Becca and Sue Lynn independently came to us to say, we really believe in this, this is something we should explore. The second Becca and I hung up, I texted Bill and said, all right, we need to have a phone call. There's something we need to do here. And so Becca and Sue Lynn just took the reins and went for it. It was really exciting to put this program together with two people who, like we've mentioned before, have lived the experience and, you know, have been through the transition and see it in their daily lives. You can't really ask for better subject matter experts than that to take you through this program. So it was sort of like a light switch moment where we were like, okay, this makes sense. And then as soon as we put it out there and got it going last year, all the pieces came together. The demand was there. It was incredible to see. So I know we're just scratching the surface of programs that are going to make a difference, but with these two leading the way, we're making a huge difference already.
Sydney, what does it take to get a program like this up and running? Especially something as new and novel as this, something maybe not as well understood as other more well-defined nursing specialties.
We're fortunate that, like Sue Lynn and Becca have mentioned, we have a CNO certification program, as well as a few others. It's a bit of a long list, so I'll spare you right now. So we've been through this process before. We'd been through the process of being approached and saying, you really need to do this for another position. You really need to do this. You really need to do this. And after enough people, we say, okay, you're right. We'll get to this. And so what we do is we recruit a group of, whether it's chief financial officers, chief medical officers, chief nursing officers, whoever the expert is that we're looking to learn from, we get them all together and ask them what I like to say is our favorite question, which is, what do you know now that you wish you would have known then? A pretty powerful question you come to find. And so pages and pages and pages of notes later, where we're getting good input, talking about, you know, exactly that, the things that these folks wish they'd known when they first stepped into their nursing role, whether it was a floor nurse or being the CNO, you know, anywhere in between that, in their rural environment, what do you wish you would have known when you first started? And so that's a big piece that goes into creating our programs, including this nursing program. And so once we got that information, we go back and forth with what we call our advisory board and, you know, folks that are willing to contribute to that. We'll go back and forth and we'll refine and create a curriculum. And so in this case, we created a curriculum of 10 modules that we go through that address pretty much all the really standout pieces that were mentioned to us when we asked that question with our experts earlier. And so once we get that together, there's a little bit of infrastructure work, of course, on the back end where we're doing some typing and putting things together online, of course. But once we started marketing for the program, you know, the demand just grew and grew. So that really took a life of its own. But I think the most crucial part of the timeline is talking to the subject matter experts, the people who have lived the experience, our advisory board members. It's fascinating to hear the input, and then we certainly get our work cut out for putting it all together. But I think that's the most crucial part in the timeline is speaking to the people who have lived the experience.
Let's talk about innovation as it relates to nursing education. What is the program's main focus or strength? Are we focused on meeting an unmet need in nursing education and giving people resources for things that they really should have? Are we finding new and novel things to teach rural nurses, or are we doing both at the same time?
It is thought-provoking, but I would have to say it's both. We definitely are meeting an unmet need. We all recognize the need for it and the lack of rural-specific education and certainly certification. That was not out there. So I think in using the new technology that we use and constantly searching the literature or researching, asking questions from those who are still active, Becca sees this and works and lives this every day. And I am somewhat remote from the actual acute care setting now, although I still travel the state of Texas and am in and out of rural hospitals every week, interacting with them, asking what they need, what education, what simulation. And we are constantly open to adding to and or revising our program to meet the need. So I would say both.
And I would just add in there, sorry, Becca, not to jump in there. I have a feeling we might be talking about the same exact thing here, but we literally have a module titled Innovation. So to speak to the innovation piece, and then we also have a module that I know Becca goes over, Health Trends in Rural America. So I think that kind of covers a little bit of both in there.
Becca, you've got something to add here.
Yeah, and if I can just touch upon the unmet need cell, I think, so going through the CNO cohort, you network with people that are in similar situations as you. So being new to a really rural area and leading in a really rural area, I was unaware that most other hospitals like us are struggling with the same things. You know, I stepped in at a time when we were looking at closing programs because of our inability to recruit in low volumes. And when I was with the CNO cohort, I learned that everybody's experiencing. So I think this program helps meet a need that we didn't even know we had, because it helps network nurses, rural nurses across the country. So we can say, we're all in this together and we're going through the same thing. What have you done that works? What have you done that's failed? How can we help each other? So I think it meets a need that we didn't even know we had.
Becca, let's take a quick step back and provide a bit more context. What is nursing innovation? How do you think about that as a nurse leader? And what is the next step? What are the next innovations that are either coming, you would like to see, or that people should explore?
Sure. So, you know, innovation in a larger hospital is a little bit easier because you have more resources and you have people that are a little more attuned to it. So I thought it was important to have innovation as a module for the rural nurses, because you don't have to have all those big things to innovate. And interestingly, like probably 85% of the medical devices that go to market, the end users are nurses, but we never touch them. We don't have any input into the research and design of those things often. So in nursing innovation is a growing field. It's something that's happening more and more frequently because nurses are natural innovators and they're natural fixers and they're naturally inquisitive. So for innovation for the module, we talked a little bit about how you can start to innovate. And my goal is for next steps for people to take that back to their home organizations and start an innovation, a nurse-led innovation group, similar to what we're doing here at Alice Hyde.
Sydney, this program caters to established nurses. How is it different serving that population versus students who have either just graduated from high school or haven't yet established themselves in clinical practice?
So with our programs, we always like to say that, you know, it's relevant, it's efficient, and it's effective. We know everybody's probably got more tasks on the to-do list than time in a day. So the last thing that we want to do is just keep adding things onto the plate, adding to the stress. Our goal is to do the opposite. Like Becca and Sulin have both said, to provide resources, a network, tools, knowledge, a structure, whatever it is that you need to help get you through the challenges, or provide you a resource or a tool or someone to talk to, whatever the case may be. So in this adult learning environment, it's a mix of self-guided and group learning. So it's a little bit of both. So you're not just sitting on the computer, watching a video, taking a test, and that's it. You have no interaction or anything. You get a little bit of both. And I think that really cements the knowledge in. And we try to make things practical enough where, like Becca was saying, they can watch the video on innovation and then go out and start an innovation group at their hospital, or can learn a tool from the clinical inquiry module and take that and implement it right away. We want it to be that practical and effective. So I think that's what differentiates it as far as like the learning style goes. But to get a little bit more into the nitty gritty of what the program is like, participants do watch videos. They're very engaging and interactive. Sulin and Becca, our preceptors / subject matter experts for this program. So they teach all 10 modules split between them. And so they've created some really powerful informational and engaging videos that our participants will watch more or less on their own time within a certain timeline, of course, because it is a 4-month program. It does go on a weekly, but the efficient and effective piece comes in because these videos are never longer than an hour. So we're never taking up more than 60 minutes of your time giving you this information. And then about 4 times throughout the program, we'll come together for a 60 to 90 minute Zoom call. And you might think that's a lot of time, but it is not. Once you start talking about the challenges that you're facing, like Becca was saying, you come to realize that, hey, that nurse in Louisiana and the one in Oregon and the one in Vermont, we're all dealing with the same problem, but perhaps there's very different perspectives that are being used, or, you know, maybe somebody has a lesson learned, what didn't work for them, or a resource that they can share, or anything like that. So that's a really, really, really powerful part of the program. I think almost anybody from the rural health nurse or any of our programs would tell you that the magic happens on the Zoom calls, because that's where you truly get to do real-time networking, you know, collaborating, problem solving, figuring it out together, even if it's just venting about, you know, the issue that you had that you thought nobody in the world could possibly understand what this likes. And then sure enough, maybe there's 1, 2, or 3 people who do. So that is what I think ultimately differentiates this learning style that we've put together, is that it's not taking up a ton of your time, it's very effective, very efficient, and it's all essentially a networking-based opportunity at the end of the day, because that's what we want to do, is connect people. We want people to realize they don't need to have all the answers, they just need to have a few people to call to talk about it and get the answers from, or share information or brainstorm with. So I think ultimately that's what differentiates our adult style learning, is that we put part of it truly in the hands of the participants to do it on their own time when it works for them, and then come to our group meetings with things to offer and contribute to the conversation.
So Lynn, you have a foot in both worlds as a former CNO and clinical practice nurse who is now a clinical educator. How are they different? Are there different challenges or different benefits?
I love the way Sydney summed that up with the participants who come into our programs. Yes, they are quite different. The beginning of academia, we all know that our degree plans they all have a lot of fluff, courses that really don't serve us well, but they're required and we have to attend. And also, you know, that 20-year-old is going to education, higher education for the first time, maybe does or doesn't want to be there, but knows that what it takes to get to life's next step. Our participants are coming in with a completely different view. They are hungry for this knowledge. They want to be there. When that 60 or 90 minute call ends, there's almost a disappointment that, oh, I wasn't ready for this to end yet. So it is a little bit of a different perspective, in that the nurses coming in know they lack what they need to practice effectively and efficiently in rural, and they just haven't been able to find it. So when they come to us, and it's like almost like a breath of fresh air that, oh, this really is what I need. Every piece we put out is practical, usable information that they can take back immediately.
Becca, you have to be thrilled with the positive reception that this program has received so far. Looking to the future, what's your hope for next steps?
It feels a little surreal, actually, Phil. I never thought like I'd be part of something like this. So it still feels a little bit like a dream. Our first cohort had 34 participants, and we do kind of a pre and a post assessment. And across all modules, there was significant learning attributed to the education that we were able to provide. So we are offering 3 cohorts this 2024, one starting in January, I think May and September. And so with that kind of interest, and to Sue Lynn's point, people are hungry for it. I expect that we'll be kind of putting some really relevant education into the hands and minds of lots of nurses across the country.
Sue Lynn, were you surprised by the overwhelming positive reception for the program? Did the scope of the need surprise you? It sounds like this was an eye-opening experience for a lot of people.
I did understand, because I knew what people needed out there. I knew what I myself needed when I went in to work in the rural areas. Even though I'm a country girl, when I came back to rural, it was a total eye-opener that you just wear so many hats. You do so many things. You have to be delivering a baby in 1 minute and working a code in the ER in the next. And then all of that time, you're charge nurse on the med surge. That doesn't happen in the urban world. So yes, I was surprised in one way, because like Becca said, it was surreal that we're developing our own program. And we were both so nervous, even though we know what we deal with every day in the hospital rural setting, we still were nervous that we brought the right content to the table. So to see it come full circle has been amazing. And this group has just been amazing to work with.
Sydney, I'm going to end with you because I see you experiencing a lot of joy listening to these two talk about their experiences as preceptors and with getting the program off the ground. What's it been like for you as someone who lives and breathes creating these kinds of things day in and day out and helping connect people with resources?
I can't help but smile because, I mean, I just love working with Becca and Sula, and I'll just say that. I know I've said it like 50 times already, but shout out to the both of them, truly, because I just think that's so important when people do speak up. We've been talking a lot about advocacy and speaking up for ourselves lately, and just goes to show you what difference a voice can make. You know, even if you think you're on your own, you may not be. But anyway, it's been really exciting to see the growth. I had no real idea of what the demand or the response was going to be when we put things out there. I believed in Sulin and Becca, so I thought, let's just go for it. I mean, the response was overwhelming. I think we had 34 people in this first cohort, which is amazing. To Becca's point, that growth that we saw, incredible. I'm looking at a graph right now. Our lowest number, or essentially percent growth we saw in competency, was 27% in quality. Highest was 75% in the financial overview, which is just like incredible. Imagine having that growth in your nurses, whoever you would want to go through this program, to experience that growth is incredible. And then to bring that back to your team and, you know, share the wealth, pass the knowledge around, is just so powerful. I think it's just incredible. So the growth in that first cohort was amazing. The response was amazing. We had amazing response from people that wanted to sponsor nurses. So lots of state offices of rural health that stepped up to the plate and said, oh, we'd love to sponsor some people on this program. We want to get them through. We want to get them educated. We want to get them in a network. And so the response by state offices and other folks willing to sponsor participants was just incredible. We absolutely love to see that. If you're a state office out there and you're wanting to sponsor some folks, please email me. I'd love to talk to you. So that was absolutely just the most exciting thing to see, that, you know, there are people who also believe in our program. So, and we've got folks from our other programs, like from our CNO or CEO, CFO program, that all said, oh my gosh, we need to get some folks into this program right now. And we love to see that. We love to see the family grow in that sense. So I can't wait to have more cohorts in the future. Like Becca said, we're going to do 3 in the year. Tentatively, we'll see how that goes. Maybe there might be demand for more. Who knows? But we'll start with 3. So it's really exciting to see where things go. And we always get lots of input from our graduates on what worked really well, what we could make better, what could be added in or, you know, edited. So we truly operate on the input of the people who live the experience. But it has been a joy. Like you said, Phil, it's been wonderful to work with these two extremely intelligent and ambitious people on our team. It couldn't be better. And I look forward to making more programs like this.
Thank you, Becca, Sulin, and Sydney, for sharing your insight and expertise with us today. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Health Talk, the healthcare news, information, and wellness podcast brought to you by University of Vermont Health Network. Find us online at uvmhealth.org/healthtalk. If you're interested in the Rural Nursing Certification Program we've discussed today, we'll put a link in the episode description. And if you have your own questions or ideas for future episodes, be sure to reach out to us via email at healthtalk@uvmhealth.org. I'm your host, Philip Rao. Thanks for listening and have a great day.